Hello, I'm Susan Spence. Welcome to the Latest Borders podcast, where you can listen to interviews and news from the world of books, music and DVD, as well as hear about exclusive offers and competitions. We have some fantastic features in this podcast, including an interview with the political satirist Mark Thomas, who talks about his controversial new book, Belching Out the Devil, The Global Adventures of Coca-Cola. We speak to Marcus Chown, author of Quantum Theory Cannot Hurt You. We'll also catch up with Borders digital marketing manager Nick Atkinson to talk about what's hot at borders.co.uk and find out what he wants for Christmas. We wonder what that could be. And to round things off, we have a special treat. President-elect Barack Obama reads from his book, Dreams from My Father, which is available right now at half price from borders.co.uk. But before we get started, this week we'd like to offer a Christmas bonus to all our beloved podcast listeners. We're giving you 20% off the RRP, the recommended retail price, of any product at www.borders.co.uk. So once you've done your shopping online, head to the checkout and enter podcast20, all one word, podcast20, to receive your discount. So that's podcast and the number 20, in numerals, at the checkout, and you'll receive your 20% discount. Now, Coca-Cola and its logo are absolutely everywhere. It sponsors the Olympics, backs US presidents, and even rebrands Santa Claus. But according to the comedian and political activist Mark Thomas, there's a side to Coca-Cola that it doesn't want you or I to know about. From Istanbul to Mexico City, Belching Out the Devil investigates the truth behind one of the planet's biggest brands. I caught up with Mark Thomas, who actually arrived at Borders Studios on his bike and wearing shorts, and he tells us some of the things he discovered. Mark, what have Coca-Cola ever done to you to deserve you to write this book about them in this way?
It's not necessarily what they've done to me, it's what they've done to everyone else, I think. I think the interesting thing about it is actually there's several reasons why I did the book. One is the fact that they are kind of an outrider for globalisation. They're a transnational company. They actually exist beyond the realms of a country. People call it an American country company, but it's not. It's a transnational corporation. It exists in the world of international finance. I think the interesting thing is one is the fact that they are huge, and they are an outrider for globalisation. Two, and they are an incredible brand. And everyone has, actually, thoughts, feelings, and an idea of what they are. You know, they're universally known. That makes it immediately attractive to want to write about. Somebody actually said, did you go after them merely because they're the biggest brand in the world? And I said, yeah. You know, it would be pointless me writing a book on Panda Cola, you know, Jacques. So partly I was interested in them because they were so big, and partly because actually there was a whole rack of human rights abuse allegations that were stacking up against them.
But wouldn't it be fair to say that, you know, you could have chosen somebody like Starbucks, for example?
I could have chosen other companies. You're absolutely right. But I don't think Starbucks has the number of, if you pick that example, they just don't have the human rights allegations that have been stacked up against Coke. That's the first one. Secondly, Coke is, of all the things, they're not an obvious choice of a baddie, if you like. You know, if you're looking at it in those bald terms, they're not the arms companies, they're not tobacco companies, they're not an oil company, they're not sort of in those positions of front-line corporate kind of wrongdoing and accusations. The interesting thing about them is they just make pop, or they concentrate to make pop, more specifically. And while you're right when you say you could have gone after other companies, I don't think other companies, one, have the allegations that stack up against them, and two, I don't think that there's such a disparity between the image and the reality.
So tell us then, what are some of these allegations that you're talking about and some of the things that you found that put Coca-Cola in the dock, really?
Well, there's different things in different parts of the world. In El Salvador, for example, there's child labour that is on the sugarcane plantations that supply the sugar mill, that supply Coke with its sugar. And that's just, you know, if it's in the supply chain and you're Coca-Cola, then you're big enough to sort it out. And those children are as young as 8, and they're working in sugarcane welding machetes, helping in dangerous conditions. It's described as most hazardous work, and it shouldn't be happening. So if you buy a bottle of poppy in El Salvador, you've got child labour in it. In India, there's accusations of water depletion, and this is Koch's own reports that are making these statements, not just the farmers and the hydrologists and the people living in the colonies and all of that. Because there have been four plants in India that have had problems with water. Coke's quite a water-intensive industry, and there have been four plants where the company's use of water has come into conflict with the community's use of water. Two of those plants have been shut down, one in Kerala and one in Uttar Pradesh. And that's quite amazing, really, that two plants have been shut down in 4 years over water, over disputes over water and pollution. So that's what's happening in India. There are allegations that, and again, as I say, Coke's own reports are saying this, that actually Coke should get out of at least one of these remaining two plants, which is in Caldera in Jaipur. So it's the desert region. So you have to ask questions, why did they open up a water-intensive industry in the desert state? In Mexico, you have allegations of aggressive marketing and anti-competitive behaviour, where actually they rid shops of their competitor's brand. There was a brand called Big Cola that was launched very suddenly, quite successful, very cheap cola, and it got 3% of the market in a year. And what Coke did was they organised a campaign to drive out their competitors from the local shops, shop by shop. You know, this isn't an allegation. This is fact, because actually, since I wrote the book, Coke's final appeal against the findings of the Competition Commission in Mexico, they've lost it. Coke have lost their appeal. So Coke is now officially absolutely guilty of anti-competitive behaviour. And all of this started with, actually, the whole thing started with one woman, a rather brave woman called Raquel Chavez, who decided that when Coke said to her, get our competitors out of your shop, and she said no, they said, well, we're not selling you Coke. And actually, Coke's about 80% of the market. Mm. It's huge. Mexico drink more Coca-Cola than any other country per person.
Is it really?
Than any other country in the world. And so it's a huge amount of profit for her that suddenly walks out the door. And she has to keep the shop open later to keep it going and all of that. And so she took them to court. She reported it to the Anti-Competition Commission. And Coke will fine something like $13 million. And she doesn't see a penny of it. She doesn't see a penny. It all goes into the state prosecutor's fund. And actually, she's just this remarkable, absolutely remarkable woman who, when I said to her, why did you do it? You've had all this grief. You've had all this suffering just for a bottle. And she said, pride. I wouldn't let them bully me.
And what about Coca-Cola themselves? How did they react when they found out that you were writing this book? And then when you actually started your investigation, did they cooperate or did they try and make life difficult for you?
Coke were very interesting because they were aware I was writing the book. I wrote to them and said, look, I'd like to come and visit your plant. And they wrote back and said no. And they said, you're biased and you're hostile. And I will hold my hands up to being hostile. But I wrote to them, and I actually had to chase them a bit. And I went to Parliament. They were doing a debate on corporate social responsibility, which is sponsored by the company in Parliament. And I wrote to an MP that I know and said, can I be your researcher for the day? And they said, yes. So I went in there as a researcher, and it sort of guaranteed, therefore, entry into this thing. And so Coke were very well aware that I was coming along. And it was interesting. I mean, there was a process of trying to get an interview with these folk and sort of wading through PR ninjas who were there to protect at all costs. And eventually I caught this guy in America. I chased this guy down who's in charge of their global workplace rights. And his name's Ed Potter, and I caught him in open ground in Delaware, where we turned up to the annual meeting and he was outside the hotel, and I just rushed over and managed to grab this interview with him. And that was really interesting, just trying to get information out of the company. I would write questions to the company. Eventually they agreed to answer the questions. Originally they weren't going to do that. And I sent over questions and I'd get these replies going, is that all the questions? And I'd write back going, well, no, there might be some more. We'll send them all over in one go. We can't keep answering your questions ad nauseum. And I wrote back saying, actually, you haven't answered any.
Now, I read on your website that, I don't know if this was tongue-in-cheek, but I thought it was very funny when I read this, when they asked you for a copy of the book, and instead of that, you sent them some of these letters, magnetic fridge magnets.
Yes, the poetry.
Tell us a story on that.
What happened was they wrote saying, can we have an advanced copy of the book for internal review? And I just said no. We just said no to them. So they sent the lawyers in. The lawyers were very kind of like smoke and bluster and, this is outrageous. We demand a copy of the book. And they actually started saying, we note you have not put all the allegations to us, therefore you cannot use the Reynolds defence should defamation proceedings be forthcoming and all this kind of stuff. So they wanted to put in, the words defamation so that we see the word. I was so angry at it. I sent them a box of poetry on the fridge magnets and said, I can't send you a copy of the book, but all the words I've used in the first chapter are in here. Rearrange them to find out what I've said about you.
And what do you think, as a reader then, somebody picking up Belching Out the Devil, what would you like somebody to take away from it or get from it?
What I would like them to do is if someone picks up the book and just reads it through and has a new set of images which they associate Coca-Cola with, then that's a good starting point for me. What I want people to do is, it's almost like looking at something again, so something that we find normal, to actually, something which we accept as every day, to just start questioning it. Mm.
Excellent. Mark, it's been great to talk to you. It's Mark Thomas, author of Belching Out the Devil.
Thank you.
Mark Thomas's book, Belching Out the Devil, is available now in all Borders stores and online at borders.co.uk, priced at £10.79. Now, we're all suffering with this credit crunch, and with less than 5 weeks to go until Christmas, we could all do with a little helping hand. Well, Borders is here to do just that. We have lots of half-price books to choose from, including the latest Adam Dalgliesh mystery from P.D. James. It's called The Private Patient. Audacity of Hope, Barack Obama, who we'll hear from later in this podcast. Also, The Boy in the Dress, written by David Walliams. Illustrated by Quentin Blake, The Mighty Book of Bosch. And also four great books, including Do Polar Bears' Feet Freeze? And New Scientist. These titles are available in all Borders stores and online at borders.co.uk. Have you ever wondered about the wonders of the universe and how it all works? Well, now you can begin to understand a little bit more about the complex world of quantum physics with Marcus Chown's new book called Quantum Theory Cannot Hurt You. We caught up with Marcus to find out if it really is as simple to understand as his book makes out.
Hi, this is Alan Dodgen for Borders Podcast, and joined by Marcus Chown. Now, Marcus, I don't know how to describe you. Obviously an author, but where do I put you? Because you write, obviously, about science and the physics around it, but you're also now a children's author, so where am I putting you at the moment?
Well, I mean, I used to just call myself a journalist, a science writer, but actually I'd now just call myself a writer. I mean, basically, when I was at school, I really liked writing stories. But what it's like in English schools, you have to specialise, you have to do science or you do arts. So I ended up doing science, but I've kind of come back to writing imaginative things, fiction as well. So I write popular science, which is factual, and I've now written a children's book, which is fiction.
Well, let's start off with the latest one, because this one's called Quantum Theory Cannot Hurt You. Love the title. But this is the paperback version. Now, the hardback version's been out for a few months already.
The book's done very well, my book, in hardback, so, paper could have actually kept it in hardback for longer. I don't know.
Well, let's explain what your book's about.
Yeah.
Taking aside the children's book for a second, how would you describe your books?
Basically, I write about science for everyone, really. I write specifically for my wife, and she's a nurse, so she doesn't have any science background. She has a medical background, but she doesn't have any physics background. So I kind of write for her, really. That's my audience. So if she doesn't understand it, start again, write again. So really, I'm actually a cosmology consultant for the magazine New Scientist, but the people that read that are kind of, they've got a background in science mostly, but my popular science books are bigger. Much bigger audience, just anyone really, anyone who's interested.
Is it fair to say it's telling science to people, teaching science to people, in almost a layman's term?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons for writing Quantum Theory Cannot Hurt You is that at New Scientist, I'm often given books like Quantum Theory for Dummies or whatever,
There's such a book?
Well, there's loads of these books, you know, and I can't understand them. I have a physics background, I can't understand them. They baffle me. So I thought there's got to be a better way to do this. You know, there's got to be a simpler way. Quantum theory is our description of the microscopic world of atoms and their constituents. And, you know, it's actually brought about the modern world. I mean, it's given us computers and lasers and nuclear reactors and iPod nanos. It explains why the sun shines and why the ground beneath your feet is solid. And in fact, I think something like 70% of the inventions in America, or 70% of the GDP of America, comes from inventions based on quantum theory. So there's this fantastic theory, which is now about 100 years old, and it's utterly bypassed the person in the street. You know, they've got no idea about this thing that's absolutely formed our world, changed our world. So that was really the idea, to kind of communicate this amazing theory. I mean, not only is it a practical theory that's allowed us to build things, interesting things, and you know, as I say, computers and lasers, but it gives us an insight into a window into an incredible Alice in Wonderland world that underpins the everyday reality. So the world of atoms or whatever. It turns out that an atom can be in many places at once. You know, the equivalent of you being in London and New York at the same time. And we can actually see this in experiments. Things happen for no reason whatsoever in the microscopic world of atoms. Atoms can communicate with each other instantaneously, even if they were on separate sides of the universe. So it's an amazingly counterintuitive Alice in Wonderland world, and it's beneath the skin of reality. You know, so there's this twin aspect to the theory. It's very, very practical. It's a great recipe for making things, you know, making electronics and whatever. But it's also got this, you know, it gives us this window into ultimate reality, which is stranger than science fiction.
In your books, are you able to explain why they're able to do these things, or do we not know yet? Like, you talk about atoms on different sides of the universe. Do we know why they're able to do such things, like communicate between each other?
We don't. I mean, that is a fascination. I mean, quantum theory is the most successful physical theory ever devised. Okay, it predicts what we do in experiments to n decimal places. However, as I say, it does tell us about this very, very counterintuitive, crazy reality. And we're still getting our heads around that. After 100 years, we're still trying to get our heads around it and trying to understand what it means. You know, why the world, you know, beneath the skin of reality is so strange. We don't quite know why the universe is constructed in such a way that atoms can communicate in this way. It turns out that no useful information can actually be sent between them. I mean, you may know that Einstein's theory of relativity says that there's a cosmic speed limit, the speed of light.
Yes.
Nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. That's why when you phone someone in Australia, there's a slight delay, because the radio waves, which are a form of light, take time to come around the Earth, you know. So it would appear that the atoms being able to communicate instantaneously on separate sides of the universe is violating Einstein's theory of relativity. But it turns out that no useful information can actually be sent. You cannot actually send a message. So if you had, for instance, one atom that was spinning clockwise and another one that was spinning anti-clockwise on opposite sides of the universe, if you flipped one, the other one would flip instantaneously. But if you tried to use that flipping to send a signal, like a Morse code signal...
Like a 0101
yeah,
sort of thing.
It would be random.
It does affect us in every way in life, through time, through... I mean, you talked and mentioned that quantum, you know, quantum physics and... atoms and everything has helped technology, and you mentioned iPods and things like that.
Yeah.
How has it helped things like everyday equipment?
Well, basically, the entire behaviour of microscopic things. But I mean, when we're talking about electronic equipment, we're talking about electrons. You know, I mean, they are the little tiny corpuscles of an electric current, and they surge around computers. And, you know, the actual devices that are the basis of a computer are the tiny transistors, the things on the chip, the transistors. And they are quantum devices, you know, that we wouldn't understand. We wouldn't have built them without an understanding of quantum theory, you know. So, as I say, it is very, very practical. Very practical, yeah.
So who's this book aimed at? Because when I first got sent the information sheet on it, I noticed that the front cover, it's very... sort of childlike. And is that done on purpose, to sort of not put people off picking it
well,
up?
Well, I just do feel that people get put off by these things. And I think scientists have done the public a disservice by trying to make out that this stuff is actually unintelligible, you know. And many, like you, quite prominent physicists have said, you know, anyone who understands quantum theory is lying or things like that. Well, this is wrong.
What, sorry?
Anyone who says they understand it is lying.
Well, lying.
This is untrue. You know, these things are understandable by anybody. I mean, my book is less than 200 pages long. It covers the two main developments in physics in the last 100 years without any mathematics, without any equations. You know, in quite visual language, and I believe that it's understandable by anybody. I wouldn't say, of course, that it doesn't require some effort. You know, you cannot actually understand these things without actually a small bit of thinking. But nevertheless, anybody who's interested, who doesn't even have a mathematical or physics background, hopefully will be able to understand it.
And is there a particular age group?
None at all. None at all. I've published a children's book, and some of the children who come along to the book signings have bought the Quantum Theory Cannot Hurt You as young as about 10. Well, I thought that was probably a bit young, but you know, maybe their parents said they were super advanced, you know, as parents do.
Marcus, it's been a real pleasure. Good luck with the book.
Thank you
very much.
And Marcus Chown's book, Quantum Theory Cannot Hurt You, is available from borders.co.uk and is priced at £7.19. And remember, this week, we're giving you the chance to save 20% off the RRP of any product at borders.co.uk. So once you've done your shopping online, head to the checkout, enter podcast20 to receive your discount. That's podcast and the number 20, all one word, at the checkout, and you'll receive your 20% discount. Regular listeners to the Borders podcast will know that we always go behind the scenes to have a chat with the buying team. And because there's so much going on in-store and online, of course, on the run-up to Christmas, in this edition, we thought we'd do something a little different. Now, it's that time where we're only maybe 5-6 weeks away from Christmas, and you've probably noticed that on the Borders website, which is, of course, borders.co.uk, it's jam-packed full of so many different things. There's so many products and offers there, and we've got in the studio, for the very first time, actually, in the Borders studio, is the digital marketing manager, Nick Atkinson, who's here to tell us all about the different types of things that you will find online. Nick, welcome to the studio for the very first time.
Thank you very much, Susan. It's a pleasure.
Now, let's start off. Lots of half-price book offers to tell us about.
Yeah, we've got some really strong promotions going on at the minute. I mean, the market is jam-packed with half-price, so we've been really selective on the sort of product that we're featuring. So we've got some great deals for our customers, including Boy in the Dress, which is the new David Walliams kids book, which is illustrated by Quentin Blake. We've got The Mighty Book of Boosh, the book The Private Patient by P.D. James, which is the latest Adam Dalgliesh mystery. We've got the new Gavin and Stacey book at half price. Harry Hill's Whopping Great Joke book. You may have heard him on the previous podcast, which was highly amusing. And we've got Stephen Fry in America, which goes alongside his TV series, which is currently showing on the BBC.
So pretty much something for everybody there. We've also, as you've been talking about the previous Borders podcast, we've been talking about The Tales of Beedle the Bard, which is, of course, the first J.K. Rowling book since Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. We've got offers on that at the moment because it's not out until December 4th.
Yeah, we've actually got a really great offer on Beedle the Bard. We haven't decided to just reduce the book by an insane amount of money. We're offering a better value promotion, really. We're giving away two really fantastic books, Vampirates, Demons of the Ocean, and Amulet of Samarkand by Jonathan Stroud, both of which are fantastic pieces of kids' fiction, free when you pre-order Beedle the Bard. So although the book is reduced, it's $4.99, you will actually get two fantastic free books if you pre-order it from Borders, you know, which is actually better than saving a couple of pounds at the end of the day.
Do you find that already there's a lot of anticipation for this book?
Yeah, I mean, we can see that the pre-orders on it are really good. People are, you know, really starting to get, I guess it's Beedle fever, it's replacing Harry Potter. You know, every Christmas needs a J.K. Rowling, and this year we've got Beedle to contend with. We're already seeing people talking about it in our community section. We know the fan sites are going crazy for it. It's like any J.K. Rowling book. It's a massive level of apprehension before the release of it. You know, we're doing midnight openings in store and that kind of thing. And, you know, the booksellers will be getting dressed up and they'll be, I imagine there'll be animals in some of the Borders stores, like owls and snakes and things like that. But Yeah, you know, Beedle Fever will certainly start gripping come 4th of December when it's released.
I have to admit, I get very excited with the whole Harry Potter thing and getting dressed up, and I love the idea of a bookstore being open at midnight.
Yeah, it's an insane phenomenon. I mean, it's the publishing phenomenon of the last 10 years, really. So, but Borders embraces it wholeheartedly, and it's something that our kids specialists in the stores really love getting behind as well.
Now, one of the great things about Borders and Borders Online is that there are so many different products. DVDs, movies, that's an idea or a product line that sometimes you forget about when you go into a typical bookstore because you're always thinking, oh, books. But Borders has got a great amount of offers on DVDs at the moment.
We do, and we don't necessarily always deal with the big mainstream releases. We, you know, they're obviously available in all of our stores, but we try to tailor our product ranges more to suit our consumers. So we do really great things with World Cinema and, you know, maybe more niche films like La Vie en Rose and The Diving Bell and The Butterfly, both of which have been really great DVDs for us and are definitely worth watching. But on DVD, we have got some really fantastic offers on some really big films as well. We've got up to 75% off Paramount Stars. So these are great movies that have been supplied to us by Paramount, which includes Stardust, Into the Wild, which on a personal note is an absolutely brilliant film. If you haven't seen it, you need to go and see it.
No, I haven't seen it. Tell me more about it.
Okay, it's basically about this guy who he's studying in the USA and he decides to sell all of his worldly possessions, give all his money away and travel around America through the whole country down to Mexico and then back up to Alaska. I won't spoil what happens there, but it is, if you have even a remote interest in travel, it's probably the, you know, the best film of the last 5 years. And on the subject, it's kind of what every person with an interest in travel would love to think that they could or would do, but actually never would. It's a brilliant film. It was directed by Sean Penn, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is a surprise, to be honest. You wouldn't have thought he'd maybe produce a film that has that sort of tone to it, but it's really nicely measured, and it's a fantastic film.
And there are also, as well as Into the Wild, there are also plenty of other offers we have on DVD.
Yeah, so some other movies we've got an offer include Transformers, Napoleon Dynamite, and we've got a great buy one, get one free on the entire James Bond backlist at the minute, which is proving to be really, really popular. We've also got an up to 70% off promotion on a range of BBC comedy, which includes your classics, you know, Only Fools and Horses and things like that. But it's a really, really eclectic mix of stuff, and definitely one well worth having a browse on.
Now, one of the things when you're on the run-up to Christmas, when we're all trying to choose gifts for family members and friends, and sometimes you're sitting there racking your brains thinking, I just don't know what to buy this particular person. This year, Borders has the perfect solution.
Yeah, we do have the perfect solution. We're not entirely sure whether we've set ourselves up for something that's going to be a bit epic to take on. But this year, through borders.co.uk, we've launched a different spin on the traditional gift suggestion option. So, you know, most major retail websites will offer you a gift suggesting platform where you can specify details about the people that you're shopping for if you're kind of stuck for an idea. But this year we've included a really exciting option on our gift suggestion where you can actually ask our buying team for a personalised suggestion for someone that you're buying for. So all you need to do is get onto the website, click on Gift Suggester, tell us a bit about the person who you're buying for, what they're interested in, maybe other titles that they've bought and really liked. And then what our buying team will do is come back to you with 3 suggestions of products that we think will make fantastic gifts for the person that you're talking to us about. It's a really fantastic offering, I think. You know, it's like having a personal shopper on the internet. So we're really excited about it, and we hope you'll get involved.
And it's completely free.
Completely free of charge, yeah. And you should get some really quirky and interesting suggestions, we hope.
And I think all the buying teams are going to be, you know, having your guts for garters for this one.
Well, I think they're quaking in their boots, actually, to be honest. And, I think the brunt of their displeasure will sit with me if it gets out of hand.
So, Nick, before we go, anything else that we want to be looking out for on borders.co.uk?
We've just launched, actually, Borders Mobile Platform. So, to basically what we're doing is offering £5 off when you spend £30. All you need to do is text Borders to 82100 and you'll be sent an SMS to your phone which has got a voucher in it, and you can redeem it in store or online, however you want to shop at Borders, and it comes off your basket spend, so whatever you're buying. So that's 82100. Just text Borders to that number and you'll get sent a voucher. And then what we'll do is be sending voucher offers maybe once a month out to our consumer base, which is really exciting, really easy way to just save a bit of extra money at Christmas this year.
And finally, Nick Atkinson, Digital Marketing Manager at Borders. If there was one thing you could have in your Christmas stocking this year, what would it be? And we are, of course, talking a book from Borders.
Okay, I've been waiting to read a book called A Sleepwalker's Introduction to Flight, which was published over the summer. And although I'm in a privileged position where I get to read a lot of new releases before they come out, I haven't got around to reading that one yet, but by all accounts, it's absolutely fantastic, and I really can't wait to read that, and I hope someone buys it for me for Christmas. Alternatively, the Rubik's Cube. We've just launched gifts and games on the website. Rubik's Cube is going to be massive this Christmas. I don't think I'll be able to solve it, but I would like to give it a go. So,
excellent. Some great recommendations there, Nick. Thank you very much for talking to us.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Now, before we hear from Barack Obama reading from his book Dreams from My Father, let me tell you about some of the great competitions available to enter at borders.co.uk. We have signed book spreads from the new Gavin and Stacey book. It's called From Barry to Billericay, which is half price both online and in store. Plus, we have tickets to see Keane in concert. And we also give you the opportunity to meet the band. So if you'd like to enter these competitions and many more, all you have to do is go online at borders.co.uk and follow the competition links. On Wednesday, November 5th, Barack Obama became the first African-American president and one of the youngest. It was an historic victory for the 47-year-old Democrat who shattered a racial barrier that once seemed unbreakable. Here, the president-elect reads from his book, Dreams from My Father.
Dreams from My Father, a story of race and inheritance. A few months after my 21st birthday, a stranger called to give me the news. I was living in New York at the time, on 94th between 2nd and 1st, part of that unnamed shifting border between East Harlem and the rest of Manhattan. The line was thick with static. Betty! Barry, is this you? Yes, who's this? Yes, Betty, this is your Aunt Jane in Nairobi. Can you hear me? I'm sorry, who'd you say you were? Aunt Jane. Listen, Barry, your father is dead. He's killed in a car accident. Hello, can you hear me? I say your father is dead. Barry, please call your uncle in Boston and tell him. I can't talk now, okay, Barry? I will call you again. That was all. At the time of his death, my father remained a myth to me, both more and less than a man. He had left Hawaii back in 1963, when I was just 2, so that as a child I knew him only through the stories that my mother and grandparents told. I can still picture Gramps leaning back in his old stuffed chair after dinner, sipping whiskey and cleaning his teeth with the cellophane from his cigarette pack, recounting the time that my father almost threw a man off the Pali lookout because of a pipe. "See, your mom and dad decided to take this friend of his sightseeing around the island," my grandfather begins. "So they drove up to the lookout, and Barack was probably on the wrong side of the road the whole way over there. Your father was a terrible driver," my mother explains to me. "He'd end up on the left-hand side, the way the British drive, and if you said something, he'd just huff about silly American rules." "Well," my grandfather continues, "this particular time, they arrived in one piece, and they got out and stood out at the railing to admire the view. And Barack, he was puffing away on this pipe that I'd given him for his birthday, pointing out all the sights with the stem, like a sea captain. Your father was really proud of this pipe," my mother interrupts again. "He'd smoke it all night while he studied, and sometimes..." "Look, Ann, do you want to tell the story, or are you going to let me finish?" "Sorry, Dad. Go ahead." "Anyway, this poor fella, he was another African student, wasn't he? Fresh off the boat. This poor kid must have been impressed with the way Barack was holding forth with his pipe, because he asked if he could give it a try. Your dad thought about it for a minute, and finally agreed. And as soon as the fella took his first puff, he started coughing up a fit. Coughed so hard that the pipe slipped out of his hand and dropped over the railing, 100 feet down the face of the cliff." Gramps stops to take another nip from his flask before continuing. "Well now, your dad was gracious enough to wait until his friend stopped coughing before he told him to climb over the railing and bring the pipe back. The man took one peek down this 90-degree incline and told Barack that he'd buy him a replacement. Quite sensibly, Toot says from the kitchen. We call my grandmother Tutu, Toot for short. It means grandparent in Hawaiian, for she decided on the day I was born that she was still too young to be called Granny. Gramps scowls, but decides to ignore. But Barack was adamant about getting his pipe back, Gramps continues, because it was a gift and couldn't be replaced. So the fella took another look and shook his head again. And that's when your dad picked him clear off the ground and started dangling him off the railing. Gramps lets out a hoot and gives his knee a jovial slap. As he laughs, I imagine myself looking up at my father, dark against the brilliant sun, the transgressor's arms flailing about as he's held aloft, a fearsome vision of justice. He wasn't really holding him over the railing, Dad, my mother says, looking at me with some concern, but Gramps takes another sip of whiskey and plows forward. At this point, other people were starting to stare, and your mother was begging Barack to stop. I guess Barack's friend was just holding his breath and saying his prayers. Anyway, after a couple of minutes, your dad set the man back down on his feet, patted him on the back, and suggested, calm as you please, that they all go find themselves a beer. And don't you know, that's how your dad acted for the rest of the tour, like nothing happened. Of course, your mother was still pretty upset when they got home. Fact, she was barely talking to your dad. Barack wasn't helping matters any either, because when your mother tried to tell us what had happened, he just shook his head and started to laugh. Relax, Anna, he said to her. Your dad had this deep baritone, see, and this British accent. My grandfather tucks his chin into his neck at this point to capture the full effect. Relax, Anna, he said. I only wanted to teach the chop a lesson about the proper care of other people's property. Gramps would start to laugh again until he started to cough, and Toot would mutter under her breath that she supposed it was a good thing that my father had realized that dropping the pipe had just been an accident, because who knows what might have happened otherwise, and my mother would roll her eyes at me and say they were exaggerating. Your father can be a bit domineering, my mother would admit with a hint of a smile. But it's just that he's basically a very honest person. That makes him uncompromising sometimes.
Dreams from My Father by Barack Obama and also Audacity of Hope are both available for half price from borders.co.uk and, of course, in-store as well. And you can find loads of great offers online at Borders' new e-commerce website, available in our autumn promotions at borders.co.uk, including many great half-price books from New Scientist to Boy in the Dress and The Private Patient to Gavin and Stacey. We also have classic children's DVDs, including Bagpuss, The Clangers and Camberwell Green, all for just £3.99. And if you're a fan of Hank, Peter, Bender or Homer, we have great box sets from The Simpsons, King of the Hill, Family Guy and Futurama, all half price now. And don't forget to get 20% off the RRP, the recommended retail price of all purchases, at borders.co.uk. Just enter podcast20. That's podcast and the number 20, all one word, when you get to the checkout, and you'll receive your 20% discount. And just before I go, remember to pre-order your copy of the brand new J.K. Rowling book, The Tales of Beedle the Bard. Not long to go now. It's released on December 4th and is the first J.K. Rowling book to be published since Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. If you pre-order it now for £4.99, you'll get two free books, as well as securing a much-valued early edition of the book, only in-store and at borders.co.uk. That brings us to the end of this Borders podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember to check back in 2 weeks' time at borders.co.uk for the next podcast, which will be packed full of more interviews and news from the world of books, music and DVD, as well as competitions and offers. And of course, we are on the run-up to Christmas, so it's going to be busier than ever. I'm Susan Spence, and on behalf of all the team at Borders, thank you for listening.